WA E-Learning Experience 2006, showcasing WA LearnScope projects.
I'm Andrew Nicholson. I'm a project officer for rural production and trade industries, so I sort of spend my time halfway between the two. And the LearnScope project that I'm presenting on behalf of Ray Tuckey, who's managing the project but is in Melbourne today, so he's unable to be here, is called Mobile Technology into the Mainstream of Trade Training. And I guess the foreground to this is, with all the hype that's going on with PDAs and e-learning and all the rest of it, it's quite difficult to get tradies, if you like, and people that are involved with assessing and learning of practical hands-on tasks involved with e-learning. So this is some of the things that we've been looking at. So I'll just run through a PowerPoint here and then hopefully we'll have some time for questions. So what we want to look at today is the aim of the project, what we did, the good and the bad, and the outcome. The aim of the project was to go beyond plain. So there's a terminology that I don't like much really, where people say, well, we're just going to get these things and we're going to play with them, or have this and go away and play with it. And I think, well, surely we want to go beyond plain. We want to go to practical application. We want to be able to go to mainstream, delivering proportions of courses or large amounts of courses using technology to deliver and assess trade qualification. And our college has had a connection with LearnScope and Reframing the Future for a number of years, and some of these projects have built on what's happened before. So we had a project back in 2004 where PDA sort of first appeared in our colleges, and they proliferated a bit like mushrooms, to talk to some of our networking IT staff. They sort of think, what are all these things doing? So we're wanting to get our trade staff to engage with technologies, and we saw PDAs as a way of doing that. Gaining quality assessment was what we wanted to do in 2004. In 2005, we were using technology to harvest assessment evidence. And there they were using digital cameras, phones, PDAs to go out into the workplace and actually capture images and video and recordings. And we started tinkering with the idea of checklists to collect evidence. So the plan was to get trade lecturers to use more technology by providing access to PDAs, cameras and mobile phones, and to move increased technology use into the mainstream, rather than just have it as a gimmick or a sort of a one-off thing. Let's see if we can actually turn it into mainstream. So we had some breakfast meetings with people who had an interest in certain types of technology and got them to explain what was going on, to showcase some of the things that they were doing in their workplace, at home, that they'd learnt at other PD meetings. And during the breakfast meetings we had show and tell sessions as well. Rod Connell, one of our plumbing lecturers, and he uses a PDA to gather some assessment evidence, and he also uses his mobile phone, or the students have mobile phones out in the workplace. They take photos of some of the stuff that they've done and they transmit it back to our office via the email system. So he has some, we're in Albany, Ravensthorpe is about 250 kilometres away, Esperance is about 450 kilometres away, so you can imagine doing assessment visits to those places is really quite onerous. So they come in for some block release, they get assessed here, but we also get them to take photos of what they're doing out in their workplace and send it in to us. And the advantage of that is it shows things happening in a real workplace. Some of the photos have got the guys knee-deep in mud and difficult situations, which would be quite hard to set up in a simulated environment. So this was sort of some of the old way we did things, and these are still used, of course, an on-the-job work record. Now we use a PDA with some software called Visual CE that Robert and Jane had a fair bit to do with setting up for the trades guys, developing forms and all that sort of stuff. Being trade-type people, we're not very good at that. But hopefully we're starting to learn to use it. So this is what a trainee visiting record looks like. They have drop-down lists. You put your list of students in there, and you select which one you're assessing. You have your assessors in there. So there might be 30, 40 students. There might be 100. There might be across all sorts of different groups if you want, or you can set up separate forms for separate courses. Automatically records the time of assessment, so you've straight away got your evidence of assessment being collected over a period of intervals, and here you put your units in, and here these are performance criteria, but mostly we prefer to reword the performance criteria as tasks or questions that the people can answer or things that the students can do. And once you've received evidence that they can do that, you've observed them doing that in the workplace, you can tick off on the box. There's space to take a photo of them doing their work, and you can also sign this software as part of the form that enables you to sign your normal signature, and it records it as a JPEG, I think, Robert? Records it as a JPEG. Then you save the record and then you move on to the next one. So I've got two courses partially set up on my PDA at the moment, and I worked out the other day with the number of students and the number of units they do, if I had them as a one sheet checklist to take out to the workplace, and all of these students are in the workplace, they're in irrigation in Albany and in forest products throughout Western Australia. If I had to take them out in paper-based form as a one-sheet page, I would need 1,200 pieces of paper. So I can either take my PDA with all that information on there and all those checklists there, or I can take my truck with a box of stuff on it, of which you usually leave the one behind that you really wanted. So this is the way the form appears on your computer once you've synced the information back. So you take your PDA, you record the information on it, and then you put it into a cradle. I don't know if you can all see the cradle here. And the cradle connects back to your laptop or your desktop, and the information is synchronised with the records that you already hold there. So you don't lose any, there are no data errors in the transfer, basically. And this, of course, has got a signature on it. It may also have a photo on there that shows that it's all been recorded. It's signed by the trainee and the assessor, so you can print that off as a record for an auditor if you wanted to see a paper record. Otherwise, it can just stay on your computer. Yeah, hasn't been through audit yet, so wait, no. Yeah, I'm not sure how that would occur. Be an interesting case when it happens. Okay, so this is a plumbing apprentice out at Tavistock, putting a toilet in the workshop that he works in, and he sent that in via his phone. And included in that was a text message to say what he was doing. He was setting out the pan in the ensuite of a house where the mining workers work. So we could see that he's setting it up level, see that there's a real pan going in there. Added to this information, of course, would be some kind of a statement from a supervisor to say, yes, I saw him do the work and it was to the standard required. It doesn't take the place of observational evidence. It's still supplementary evidence, but a way of collecting more evidence. Some other workshops and trainings we held, we ran a series of what we called nerd schools. And Ann Hodges came down and ran some workshops in digital stories and Metamatic and other things. And we also ran through some types of delivery training, digital stories and flipbooks. The Nerd School was a combination of the management, putting an E in, a bigger E in management LearnScope project that Kathy will talk on later, and the Trade LearnScope project. So the people in that got together to produce checklists for PDAs. And that was delivered partly by John Madison, who talked us through some Access database, and mostly by Robert Swanberg, who put us on the straight and narrow with regards to Visual CE and all the myriad of things that non-technical people had. So there's some of the people that participated in Nerd School. That's quite an attractive collection of nerds there. And we were very proud of our little Nerd School. And the final couple of sessions, we had a reward of a mud cake for whoever put a checklist on. So this lady here, who works in our quality assurance area and is basically a computer programmer, I think she walked away with three mud cakes after that session. She was very proud. She's got four kids, so she was going to put them in the freezer. So we worked on manipulating photos to make them the right size to fit in digital signatures and the whole bit to do with the final form. So Anne came down and talked us through blogs, Metamatic and digital stories. And this is one of our plumbing lecturers, Warren Sloss. He's taken up the whole digital story idea quite strongly, and he's taken photos and produced a number of digital stories. Now this looks very strange, but I hope it will run. Oh, is it one? I don't know what that was. So you've seen a digital story from Anne. Here's one from our trades guys. So this is a procedure called side lacing. And it's where you want to work under a situation where you don't want sand falling in on you. So there's a couple of benefits to doing this. If you tell your students that you're going to be taking photos and recording and other people are going to see it, they all jump in there and work really hard. And everybody participates instead of, you know, maybe one sort of skiving off to the side and leaning on the shovel a bit more than you like. And you can record the process and you can show it to the next lot of students that come through next year. This is the way you do it. And then they can go out and do it. And you've just got a permanent record of how they want to go. So you can see that you can produce quite a number of those as a teaching teaching object. It also becomes evidence gathering of them doing the assessment, as well as a teaching tool for the next lot of people. And a project that I've been involved with for a couple of years is Flipbooks, which I first heard of at a LearnScope project a couple of years ago. And we've been working on developing one for viticulture, which is not strictly in the trades area, but it has the same sort of application where you could produce it as a learning guide for somebody that is out in industry, where you might want to take something that covers underpinning knowledge and give it to them in the workplace, so that while you're observing them doing the workplace tasks, they're also able to go away and self-learn their way through a learning resource. So when you put the CD in, initially I loaded this before because it does take a little while to load up, and put a title on it. You can put different covers and different looks, brass bound corners and things. That's all just cosmetic really. But the bookmarks down the side mean that you can go to various different chapters and have a look at those, and it acts just like a book. It opens up, it has a contents page, makes a flicking sound. This one's actually loaded in with Flash. We use the computer programmer to help do this, which takes time, but you can also do it very easily just by putting a whole PowerPoint presentation, just load it straight into the Flipbook software without, and it'll arrange it all itself. It'll take text, it'll take audio, it'll take video. It takes a little bit to learn it, but not very much really. So for January, you can see we've got 10 different things that we can do. We can have a look at the weather. We get a bit of a drop-down list of the weather. We can see what our grape stages are at, and we can go from month to month and learn about various different things. We can also go to a how-to page that tells us pruning. You can run video in it as well so that you can show how a task is done and at real speed. And then, say, on the next page, you could go to an animation that would show you how to do things, but where the correct cuts would be, and the student could perhaps do that as an interactive thing. And by putting your various different bookmarks in, you can put different sorts of information in so you can load it up. So it's a little bit, in a way, like kind of a simplified toolbox it can be. But because it has this book feel, you can take it out to people that aren't very au fait with technology, and they're quite happy turning over a page. It kind of works right. So if you imagine this software that sits in behind it that allows this to happen, so you can have, you know, a glossary. This glossary, in the end, this is an old version, in the end it'll link back to the various other resources through the book. Flip Publisher. We got an early version, which was a one-off to buy, and it was about $400. But the later versions, I notice now, because they use it as a kind of a digital catalogue, it really works best with photographic material. Now you buy like a subscription for however many hundreds you're going to do, and I've got a feeling it's probably more expensive now. I don't really know how it works, but the good thing for us is that once we've produced the resources, we can then just burn them on CDs, and so that part of it becomes very, very cheap for us. So what didn't work so well for us? Well, the PDAs are an expense, obviously. You'd like to buy them and give them all to students and have them go out there and collect all the information, but that was a bit of a problem. Because we're trade kind of orientated people and not IT people, we had all sorts of problems with PDAs, and we had Jane and Robert running back and forward and the various people who understood technology in our section. Fortunately, we're right next door to our IT section in our office, so I spent a lot of time in there. And developing checklists for PDAs, we kind of, again, because we're not particularly people, we kind of thought we had it, and then we went off on a wrong track, and then we got pulled back to where we should be. And so it all ended up well in the end, but initially we kind of went in circles a little bit. The brekkie meetings work really well. You know, you'd all be aware that LearnScope really seems to run on food and accommodation or food and venues, and the breakfast meetings work well. Nerd School was a great idea, and we think we'll probably do it next year and have like blocks, a set aside time where people can come and do things that they know, and we'll kind of proclaim our nerdiness as a cachet, I think. And using in-house talent, we discovered that there's a lot of people around who are into a lot of things within your college that they may not be professional presenters or whatever, but they're people you know. So you can, when they say we'll customise this learning to you, you can say, oh, hang on, you know, let's go here, let's go there, you know. And it really did work very well, I thought. And going from the theoretical to the actual, so with all these things, we've seen a checklist before. Let's put some real checklists on and see what the problems are with that. How do you tick them off? Oh, look, this didn't load properly. Oh, there's only 12 spaces here. All those sorts of things become really important. And in the future, we're going to look at attendance roles, getting more and more checklists on there, and putting question banks on there. So attendance roles, basically, it'll be a one-stop shop then, if we could work out some way of keeping attendances as well as our observational checklists, would be pretty well there. Thank you.
participants that allowed us to record their presentation.